Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe.
All right, 11:03 on The Fan, hour two of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the midday, 877-337-6666. Is the phone number. We're here till 1 o'clock. CMB comes your way. Dolph Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. We're live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear Deli meats and cheeses. You know where. Only at ShopRite. Carl Banks brought to you by Tri-State Kia Dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com to discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. By Foxwoods Resort Casino, the wonder of it all. And by York Install Confidence, the two-time Super Bowl champion, number 58. Carl Banks. Hi, Carl.
Good morning, man.
Carl, would it bother you if your defense, you know, held an opponent to 6 points? That wasn't perfect because you gave up 6 points, but you didn't force any turnovers. But again, you held your opponent to 6 points,
right,
and you lost the game.
Seven first downs,
minimal amount of yards. I mean, really, the defense was like an A performance. Not A plus, but an A performance. Would it annoy you in that room if the coach, after the offense basically gave up more points than the defense, was talking about, well, we got to force more turnovers? Would that annoy you, considering you did everything you could to win this game?
In the context of one unit versus another holding up their end of the bargain, absolutely. From a team standpoint, you want to think, and this is not always the case, but you want to think that everybody buys in and does what it takes to help the other. You know, it's kind of complimentary football. And they did more than their part. But at the end of the day, if they truthfully look at it from a team perspective, they're going to say, well, maybe we needed to get them the ball back one more time. But that is kind of out the window when you play the type of game that they played and you laid it out there. It's hard to justify an acceptance of, well, we got to get a turnover. Well, the reality is, in order to win, you probably do. But the way you played, you don't have anything to feel bad about. I mean, they played as good a football defensively as they could, and with the exception of getting a turnover. So, you know, I'd be kind of disappointed to hear that as a defensive player. But then when you look at it from a team perspective, then, you know, you go in there and you say, okay, now what else do we have to do? I guess we got to get a turnover a game or two in order for this thing to get going.
All right, so now you got a center who can't make a snap on in the shotgun, who like 10 times in the game has a bad snap in a shotgun, all right?
I'd like to think, Joe,
how does he keep playing?
That's a prerequisite for that position.
How does he keep playing?
You don't. You cannot allow if it happens more than once in a game, you got to get him out unless he's that much better than the guy behind him. And if you can't get the ball to the quarterback, then you probably shouldn't be in there as a center. That's just the reality of it.
Okay, and even if that's the case, Carl, maybe you don't want to be in the shotgun. Maybe she just had the guy on the center. I mean, how about that, too?
Well, there's a lot when you look at what went wrong in that game, and all of it makes sense in hindsight. And you would think, you know, from a coaching perspective, that those things, those type of adjustments that you've got to keep your finger on the pulse of, like, okay, we can't get the ball snapped in shotgun. Go to the offensive coordinator and say, okay, we got to put this guy under center and let's get the plays run from under center. I mean, that is always an option that they, you know, from a coaching standpoint, you got to explore that.
What are, in your opinion, the positives and negatives of sitting Sam Darnold if
Todd, listen, okay. I am not in the school from that school of coddling your franchise. When he's only going to get better when he sees it live and doesn't repeat it. So you got one where you had a guy, when 47 and made the interception, he slid right up under a throw, and Sam never saw him because the last time Sam saw him, he was near the line of scrimmage. So I don't know if he lost him by via – I don't know if the snap was bad on that particular play or not. But he lost him, and the linebacker slash safety slid right up under there and snatched that ball away. That's something he won't repeat because he can not, he did it. He's used to the guys being wide open in college. Once they're open, once you see them open, they normally stay open in college. In the pros, there's a bit more deception. He's got to see that. He's got to be able to recognize that just based on, you know, defensive formations and number counting numbers. And if you think your guy's out there on the flat by himself, probably not. And so he's got to see it. You can't sit a guy. I mean, he had a tough day. But this is part of the process with young quarterbacks. I mean, these are the growing pains. You got to live with them, and you try to put as much around them as possible to limit these types of games for interceptions. But you got to live through it. You know, the Colts lived through it with Peyton Manning. It's very rare that you get a player who doesn't have one of these games as a quarterback coming into the league, or a few of them, or a half a season of them. But you got to believe in what you drafted, and you got to know that you can't microwave a Pro Bowl quarterback. They have to go through it. They got to see it. If he's smart enough, he'll make the adjustment, and it won't come up again the next game. And he's going to force defenses to come up with something different, because now what happens – is he'll see that in one shape or form every game until he gets it fixed. And chances are he'll show up next week and they'll try it, he'll recognize it, and he won't throw the ball. But this is part of the process for young quarterbacks. They all have to go through it.
Sure.
It's the pain. You can't sit them and coddle them. What are you doing there? You're only delaying what's going to happen anyway. So you sit him. You watch him for a while. He let him watch for a while, watch on film. And then when the bullets start to fly and the blitzes start to come and he can't handle it because he's never had to handle it, you're going to get the same result, if not worse.
No, and I agree with you about that. And we were looking at Peyton Manning because he had a 3-13 rookie year, led the league in interceptions, and their numbers through nine games are very similar. And Peyton had help in that Marshall Faulk was on that team. Marvin sure. Harrison was on that team. Right now, I look at the guys around Sam Darnold. There's very little good talent around him, whether it's on the line, whether it's at running back, whether it's at the skill position.
Well, that puts even more emphasis on execution. They were trying to be a running team to give him some balance. And what opposing teams know, stop the run, force this kid to have to learn on the fly, and he'll make some plays, and he's going to make some bad ones. You hope that you can, you know, bait him into some bad plays. So they've got to be really committed to keeping balance in their offense. At times it looked good, other times it looks horrible.
Let's be honest, the coach has to go. I mean, they have to do what we've seen the Rams do, what we've seen the Bears do. You know, you got to get this guy out of here. They got to get an offensive guy in there, you know, that's going to, you know, help develop this kid. That's the bottom line.
Well, I'll say this, Joe. It's a wins and loss business. So, and I love Todd, and I'm not the guy because I don't have a vested interest in the Jets, so I'm not going to be the guy to say he needs to go, but I will say it's a wins and loss business. He's aware of it. He's been there, and he's got to show and prove, or, you know, the reality of coaching will befall him as well. So I can't sit here and tell any Jets fan, you got to stick with this guy. If you're seeing something and it speaks for itself, then that's what it is. He's got to win football games. That's the reality in this league. You get a honeymoon period early on, and then after that, when they start to give you some things to work with, you got to show a appreciable improvement. If not, then that's the reality of coaching. I, you know, far be it for me, and I love him. He's my guy. But I'm not going to be – I can't sit here and stump for him, and I don't even have a vested interest in, you know, the success or failure of the Jets. I want him to be successful. Obviously, but that's, you know, that's personal. But the reality of it is you got to win games in the NFL.
Amen.
You get a period
yep.
of, you know, you're new, You're learning, well, not learning the game. You're already a coach, but you're getting your head coaching legs, if you will. And then you get players, and then you get into, you know, a couple years of this, and your results aren't appreciable. And that's just the reality. You got to win football games, and I'm, you know, far be it for me to tout anyone's credentials. When, you know, you have to win games in the NFL. Simple as that.
We're talking to Carl Banks. There's a few things in the NFL through 9 weeks that I think we all feel good about. The Patriots and Chiefs are very good. The Saints and Rams are very good. There's a lot of in-between, and one of the in-betweens is the team that beat the Giants last week, who got absolutely annihilated at home by the Falcons, and that's the Redskins. They gave up a ton of yards on the ground. They gave up a ton of yards in the air. It was an all-around awful performance. What's your overall thought on this Redskin team? I mean, they're still 5-3. They still have a leg up in this division. They have a win against the Dallas Cowboys at hand. They still have to deal with the Philadelphia Eagles twice, which is probably going to determine this thing. But what's your view on this Washington team?
I like Washington. I think they're a bit inflated in terms of where they are. But they've earned the right to be at the top of the division because they don't make a lot of mistakes. But if you can execute on their plays to be made on Washington all day. Now they're starting to get some injuries on their offensive line, which, you know, will handicap them because no one has great depth on the offensive line. But I thought, you know, as good as they're ranked and they are a good football team, I thought it was a bit inflated. I didn't put them in the elite of the league, but they're good enough, clearly, and they're playing very good. That's why they are where they are, because it's very simple what they do on offense. They just execute it better, and defensively they get after it. But, you know, this quarterback that they have back there, I can't tell you he's an upgrade to Kirk Cousins. You know, they don't threaten you down the field a lot with their offense, so you've got to play good fundamental football in order to stop them. And because they spread the ball around a lot, they try to run, they try to keep balance in there. But, you know, you stop the run against them, you can, and then your players need to be where they're supposed to be on defense, you got a chance. And that's what – I mean, listen, Atlanta's defensive backfield is decimated. And they were able to get things done, and obviously their offense is one of the most explosive in the NFL. So they challenged Washington and pretty much came away with an easy victory.
The class of that division is who, in your mind? You still think the Eagles?
Yep, I do. I think they're just too talented of a football team to write off right now. And I think the margins, you know, in terms of where talent is in performance, it's very slim. If they hit their stride, they'll be fine. I mean, they have the better quarterback. They have the better defense. Offensively, their skill positions have been a little inconsistent. They're trying to find a running game. But I just think they're still the class of the division, in my opinion.
I think you're right. Carl, we always appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Friday.
See you Friday,
Carl.
Right.
Carl Banks, one issue for the Eagles they may run into, they do have those two games with the Redskins, and the Redskins are losing their entire offensive line. I mean, how many guys on their line have they lost? The left guard got hurt. Sheriff got hurt. We know about Williams. He's out for a month.
Yep.
But the Eagles still have to go to New Orleans. Good luck with that.
Yep.
And they got to go to L.A. and play the Rams.
Mm.
So they've got two almost nearly impossible games still on their schedule to go along with a bunch of divisional games, including two with the Washington Redskins that – may well determine the division.
They're 2-0 in the division, right? They beat Dallas and they beat the Giants. They haven't lost a division game, right?
They definitely beat the Giants and
they beat the Cowboys.
No, they haven't played the. Are you talking about that Philadelphia?
No, I'm talking about the
Washington.
Redskins.
Washington, yes, you're correct. Yes, they're 2-0.
Right.
I thought you were talking about the Eagles. The Eagles haven't played the Cowboys yet.
No,
they got
I know.
The Sunday night game with them next week.
Right.
And they still have two games with Washington. So they have a bunch of these divisional games that'll go a long way to determining what's going to happen.